Okay, everybody, we are going to go ahead and start our post-race press conference today for the Hollywood Casino 400 in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. And we are joined by the winning crew chief and the winning owner of the number 11 FedEx Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. We have crew chief Chris Gabehart and team owner Joe Gibbs. We will open the floor up for questions. You have a question? We'll start here and go around.
Trevor Mater, NASCAR College Media Program. Joe, that final restart, you had all four of your cars up there kind of vying for the win. One, how nervous were you, and was there any message to any of the teams in that final restart?
No, there was no message, but I was nervous for sure. There's so much at stake, you know, at the end of a race like that. For each one of our teams, they got their sponsor, they got their career, their drivers do, crew chiefs. And there's so much at stake. I get the most nervous when we have two of our cars up there or three of our cars up there. Big day for us. Really appreciate everything. Kyle fought back from some stuff. Eric was really good all day. I thought we had a chance maybe with him. And then Martin was up there for a while. Denny was real strong all day. And Chris has done a great job with Denny. They've really paired up. And you can tell they have a lot of confidence. Denny on those restarts and everything tonight, he was on two tires. Some of the guys were on four. Big deal. And I think right now he's got a lot of confidence. And one other thing, I get emotional when I see the car because it has JD's name, you know, over the door with Denny. That means so much to us and my family. I called everybody. I called Melissa, JD's wife, the boys. And it's a big deal for us emotionally. And so I just thank the Lord for a great day for us.
Sterling Siemens with KCOU. Joe, your team has been really dominant this season, up there with the likes of Hendrick Motorsports back in 2007. How do you explain the dominance and the strength that your team has displayed throughout all four full-time cars?
Yeah, it is so hard in pro sports to stay up and keep performing because it's just this is the best people in the world, the best teams, drivers in the world that race NASCAR. This is it. And so it's hard to stay up there. And the only thing I would say there, it's about the people. We have great people back at the race shop preparing everything. And I just wish a lot of them could be here. Our drivers, our crew chiefs, and their teams. I just think it's kind of, for us, it's about people. I think we got great people right now. We have very, very good chemistry. And it's not going to buy us anything next week. The problem is, I get so nervous. I was all excited about the day, and then somebody mentioned next week, and I almost threw up. So I said, you mean this didn't get us to Homestead? But it was certainly a great day. And I always say for our sponsor, I had a chance to call Fred Smith and Raj and everybody there at FedEx. You know, it means so much to our sponsors. This is different than other sports. They're actually in the game with us. They're on the car. They're a part of it. 3.5 hours, they're with us. And so it's great, so great when you can call them afterwards and say thanks.
Scott Stiles, Fox Sports Radio. Chris, during the day, long green flag runs and not many opportunities to make changes on your car. But knowing going in, possibly there's going to be some, you know, short-term runs at the end. Your thoughts going in today?
Well, we had a really good practice, honestly. We were really good Friday during practice and race trim. And this was a tough track for us. We didn't run very well here the first time. And I'm just so proud of my race team, myself, the engineers, and everybody to come to these tracks for a second time and make the improvements that we've made to be as good as we were. But clearly once the race got going and it got strung out, it was evident we had a really good car and we were going to have a shot to win. And we got a few key adjustments into the car there that I think between those and once we got out front just kind of turned it into a dominant car, and we were able to control the rest of the day there and until that last caution. And then it's just scrambling, you know, and it's a matter of figuring out how to make a pit call and hope it's the right one. And then Denny executing, and he did a great job.
We'll go to Nick, then to Randy, then to Jeff.
Nick Bromberg, Yahoo Sports. Joe, do you allow yourself to think about that modern-day Hendrick mark that you guys are now two races away from tying their 18 wins and 36, and is that even a little bit more pressure getting all three cars to the finals?
I think more about the championship, you know, and I'm more focused on that. But certainly we love the wins. I think for all of our cars I mentioned, each one of those sponsors, it's a huge deal for us, and obviously to get three of them into the next round is a big deal. This format for playoffs, you know, Kyle won the regular season, which was a huge deal for us. But when you get in these three-round playoffs, I mean, anything can happen. We know that. And so that makes you so nervous. And I think what you're doing is I'm constantly thinking about Homestead. How do we get to Homestead? That's what I think about the most.
Go to Randy, then to Jeff, then to Breyer, then to Trevor.
Hi, Randy Kovitz, Kansas City Star. For each of you, I guess Denny is maybe considered the best active driver not to have won a championship. And based on what you've seen this year, starting with the Daytona 500 to five wins this year, is this his best chance to win it, and what makes it?
Well, I think pairing him with Chris has meant a lot to Denny. And I think it did start off at Daytona 500. That whole 500, everything that it meant, everything about JD, everything about the 11 number and everything was just a huge deal. I don't think that was something that just happened. You know, I think God really was a part of that weekend. And so we started there, but I think Chris and Denny really developed a relationship where they fight on every single lap. And I think tonight was a good example because Denny, he had those restarts, and there were people all over him, some having to win, some having four tires, and somehow he got it done. So I think Chris deserves a lot of credit, but I think Denny's on it right now.
Yeah, I would echo that. I just think, you know, clearly he's shown the ability throughout his career to elevate. And I think that's the difference between a good driver and a great driver, just like any athlete, is – the ability to elevate when the pressure's on, and clearly he's shown the ability throughout his career, but now he has the experience of the good days and the bad days and the good years and the bad years, and he's just on it right now. I mean, this race team shows up to win every week, and we're disappointed if we don't, quite frankly. And I think that's the key. I don't think it's about Homestead for us, it's about getting us to Homestead. And then at that point, the mentality will carry us through the race, or it won't. But it's the same mentality we go to the racetrack with every week.
Jeff Gluck from The Athletic for Chris over here. You know, obviously this is a really strong group of eight drivers that are left, and you have almost half of them, or your organization has almost half of them. Where do you feel like you guys stack up in that group? Because, you know, I know you guys have had – you know, your waves over the course of the season. You haven't always been where you wanted to be. Sometimes maybe you are, you know, after leaving here today. You feel confident enough to feel like you're going to have all three of them by the time you get to Homestead?
You mean all three of them in the race at Homestead? Yeah, that's so hard to say. Certainly, without question, the organization has the potential to get there. I think we've more than proven that this year. But, you know, you're talking about a three-race series to get there. And these race cars have a million moving parts on them, most of which we try to control, but some of which we can't. And then you have another 38 race cars out there that have a million moving parts on them, most of which you can't control. You can't control any of those, right, when Blaney had his issue and brought the caution out. So a lot of circumstances determine whether or not you're going to get to Homestead as a race team or an organization. But clearly, we have shown the ability to be the favorites, I think. And it's just a matter of executing and with a little bit of luck these next three, and I think we got a great shot at it.
Go next to Bob, then to Nate, and we'll come up to Brian.
Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. I have one for each of you. Chris, you say it's just a matter of executing. So what goes into that?
Well, I mean, again, the stuff we can control, it's just those million little moving parts that we're talking about. Those are easy, right? But, you know, it's just staying focused. For us, we've made it, the 11 team, I feel like we've made it in a lot of ways through the hard part. We're now really to the round where is a real sweet spot for Denny. If you look at Martinsville and Texas and Phoenix, they're excellent racetracks for him. And I couldn't be more excited about getting to Martinsville with the effort that this race team and this organization's put into those cars there. So, and Denny's excellent there. So really, for execution-wise, it's just doing what we've been doing. I feel like we've worked hard all year to build a process and a procedure that clearly is good enough on any given Sunday to get it done. So we really don't have to change anything. We just got to keep doing what we've been doing.
And for Coach, are you worried about Kyle? I mean, yes, he was third today, but he hasn't had the best playoffs in the world.
No, I think what you see in I think the top drivers is you can kind of go through a little bit of a slump. I mean, I call him on the phone. He goes, he's got a great sense of humor at night when I call him. He goes, when are you going to give me the good car? And stuff like that. But, yeah, third doesn't get it for him, I'm afraid. But I think his competitive spirit and everything, I think he's made a lot out of what happened today. And so we're excited about that. I want to say that for all of our partners, Toyota is a big part of what we do. It's just a huge deal. Their partnership and the fact they're right there with us battling every single week. It's a huge deal to have all of our partners, and particularly Toyota, with us. So big deal for all of us, and our driver's pretty good, too.
Big deal here for Denny. Walk us through your victory today, Denny.
Yeah, just really a dominant car the second half of the race. When we were able to take the lead from Martin there, I knew that he's obviously very strong, and once we got out front, I could really give what I felt like was the right information as far as what my car was doing to Chris, and then he made adjustments as the race went on, and so we got better. Held off a charge there from the 18. I felt like, when I needed to get a lap to keep my distance, I could go out there and get it, but didn't make unnecessary change risk of putting my car in bad spots. So I thought, the strength of us really was being able to move around the racetrack and run, close to the same lap time no matter what lane we were in, and that kind of allowed me to get through traffic the way we did, and then obviously hold those guys off at the end.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. This is for Denny and Chris. So the last two restarts, the top four was Denny, Kyle, Eric, and Chase. When you have that situation where you're up there with two of your teammates and can kind of control those front two rows, how much coordination is there among drivers? How much coordination was there? And I guess how much can there be to ensure that a Gibbs car wins?
Yeah, I mean, there's no guarantees at all. I mean, you just hope, from my standpoint, that the person that's behind you gives you a push. I think that all the drivers are smart enough now to know that, like, the power is in numbers. When you start, pushing down the front stretch and through the corner, that line will go. And, there was one that was really crucial for Kyle and myself where he pushed me all the way, kind of all the way into turn one. If he dips out and takes us three wide one way or another, our lane is dead and the whole outside line just freight trains right by us all. So I think it's just you had a bunch of experience right there of guys that kind of knew what they were doing. And then at the end, I was definitely worried about Chase, sticking us three wide, but I was able to time the restart to where once I took off, he gave me a shot. It wasn't a push. It was a shot that sent me out where he couldn't really – do anything at all anyway. So it was just a good time to restart there at the end.
Is there any coordination for you, Chris, with Chris?
I mean, obviously we have communication with one another and we do talk back and forth a little bit. But for the most part, no. It's really mostly between Denny and myself. He'd bounce a few ideas off of me or kind of look for a little reassurance. Hey, what do you think about this? And I would say, yeah, I tend to think you're thinking right about it. But it really is typically like 55-45 type scenarios. It really just depends on how good everybody gets their tires hooked up when they launch and when they launch and do they push or do they make contact. And again, it's a lot of experience at the first couple rows in that scenario. So everybody's pretty smart about playing chess at that point, and it's just he who executes best, and my guy did it.
Before we continue on, do we have any more specific questions for Coach or for Chris? Okay, let's go ahead and head to Trevor, and then we'll cut these guys loose.
This one's, I guess, kind of for Denny and Joe both. This has been a really good season for JGR as a whole and maybe one of Denny's better seasons in his career. If JD were here, what do you think he would say about this season?
I think he would be excited about one of the things that his boys at his service read from his daily log. And one of them read something like, "Worst day of my life. We had a horrible day at Pocono." And everybody laughed because, you know, the seriousness of everything with JD and at the end. But I think he'd be thrilled. JD, the thing about JD, which everybody here knows, he spent his entire, you know, occupational life. He was there from the first nut and bolt when he first got out of school, and he was there until he went to be with the Lord. So huge deal for us. Coy and myself, you know, we're trying to fill in for JD. Coy sacrificed and moved over from his kind of dream working with motocross and everything. So our family, and we got grandkids coming now. They're all excited, and I was talking to one of them about coaching, and he goes, "I don't want to coach." I said, "What do you want to do?" He goes, "I want to do what my dad did. He wants to be there and work in JD's office." So we're excited about that in the future coming for us. Thanks for asking.
Well, Coach and Chris, we will let you go, and congratulations on your win. We'll continue on here with Denny. We'll go next to Briar.
Briar Starr with Speedway Media. Denny, this is your fifth win of the season. What does that say about your team and how good you have been this year? What's been clicking for you so well lately?
I mean, everything, really. Everything's good. The cars are fast. We're executing well. I feel like I'm giving the right information to the crew chief to let him make the adjustments he needs to make it faster. I thought practice was really a telling, you know, sign for us that every time we came into the pits to work on it, when it came out, it was better. And so we really did a good job of making our car better through the weekend. Even though it didn't qualify that all that well, being 23rd or so, I knew we were going to have a car that was going to be able to go to the front, and that's what we had.
Steve?
Steve Conley, PRN. Denny, that situation with the white flag, you're coming to the white flag. Did you know you were short, or were you a little bit surprised when NASCAR said we're going to go back green?
No, I knew it was really close, and I knew that they had the technology to figure out if it was good or not. So I knew it was really close, but I definitely didn't want to see it happen, knowing that you know, we had just held off those guys. We were in good position coming to the white right there with the guys behind us. And, of course, you know, everyone behind us and around us had four tires, and so we were at a little tire deficit there, but my car handled good enough, and we made the right adjustments that made it able to hold it wide open there the last few laps and do what I had to do to win.
A follow-up to that, on that restart, you had 300 cars lined up on the inside. What was the decision on your position to start from the inside or outside?
Yeah, I'd had so much success from starting from the inside earlier that day that I just was committed to it. I wasn't comfortable taking the top, being unknown of whether my car was going to accelerate correctly or not. Also with that is you have kind of the white line up until the start finish line to be your security blanket of someone, you know, dipping low. So I was just able to time it to where when I gave him the signal to go, as soon as he hit me, I took off and it lunged me out there enough to clear those guys. And with them racing side by side, that was key for me.
Sterling Siemens with KCOU. Denny, this is statistically one of your best seasons of your career. And as it gets later and later into the playoffs, you've had experiences, you have experience in the playoffs as it gets down towards the end of the season. With that experience in mind, do you and the team feel more prepared this year to make a charge at a championship?
Yeah, I mean, I think that certainly we're running as well as we ever have. We're contending for race wins week in, week out. We've got great, great engines, great cars, great engineering. Everyone from TRD to JGR has really put together some good race packages at all types of different racetracks. And there's really, even though the next, you know, few weeks there's a variance of, you know, you got a short track, you got a mile and a half, and then kind of got a short track hybrid in Phoenix. We feel like we can win at every single one of them. So. I just, that's one thing that not a lot of drivers probably can say is that they feel like they can win at every single track they go to, and that's been the case for us this year.
Denny Scott Styles, Fox Sports Radio. During the race, obviously, track had a lot of grip today, but the sun came out for a period of time, and a lot of drivers were complaining about tightness of the car. Did you experience any of that today?
Well, I thought our car was better than most. The cars that we were racing around, we were kind of always marching forward. We got a good restart there at the end of stage one that put us in a good position to start fifth, I think, in the start of stage two. And then we took the lead for Martin not long after that. So it's just my car was handling good. I think we prepared for conditions like this, and obviously it showed up to where we were slow in qualifying, but we were fast when it counted in the race.
Dominic?
Dominic Cotter, going to the Racing Experts in ESPN Radio in Albuquerque. Since the beginning of the year, you've passed drivers like Dale Jarrett and Fireball Roberts on the all-time wins list. Is that something you take a look at, and is the wins list something that you pay quite close attention to, or not really?
Yeah, I mean, there's you know, hallmark wins. I mean, once you get to 30, you want to get to 40. Once you get to 40, you want to get to 50. So, you know, 40 is my next goal, and I think we can reach that very, very soon. Hopefully early next year would be a nice thing, unless we can run off four in a row here over the next 4 weeks. But I can't believe kind of the success that we've had. My career has been way beyond anything I ever expected, but it's been because of the people I've been aligned with, and that's no joke. I mean, I've been with race winning organization with JGR, been with the same sponsor, the same team, Toyota now for over 10 years, and so most of the success has come with those guys, and so I feel like we've just got everything is. I've got everything I need to go out there and win every single week. It's up to me to do it.
We'll go Gavin, Jacob, then Steve.
Hey, Denny, Gavin Doe from the NASCAR College Media Program here. You know, 2018, you came off of a winless season, but this year you have 5 wins in your belt with you and Chris Gabehart. How strong has that bond been with Chris Gabehart this year?
It's been a game changer. I mean, he's just he prepares differently. He does a lot of things that he asks a lot of the right questions, and questions that I don't necessarily think of when we're debriefing between practices or even during a race. So I think he has the bigger picture always in his mind of what we need to do to be better. And so it's because of a crew chief driver relationship, that's such a huge part of success in the Cup Series. And obviously that switching to him has equaled success for us. So we really got a good thing going, and hopefully we can continue that momentum for at least 4 more weeks.
Jacob.
Jacob Blair, NASCAR College Media Program. On those late restarts, how much information are you given about the drivers behind you's point situation? Chase was in a tight battle there. How much information are you given about that, and then how do you use that information in determining which lane you want to choose?
Well, it is a determining factor. I think I asked on the final restart. Chris actually volunteered the information that, hey, he only needs one more point by our numbers to make it anyway. So I was like, well, that's even more of a reason to push us into turn one, because everyone who had pushed me into turn one had came off turn two second. And obviously he came off second. So I think that it was important for us to, if we could keep that inside line all aligned and to push, the outside line really didn't have a chance there. So he did that and got in.
Steve, and then we'll finish with Nick.
Denny, the end of stage two, you had just put Jimmy Johnson a lap down, and as you were coming to take the green-white checkered, it looked like you may have slowed up. Was there any reason for that? Because that gave Jimmy his lap back and Austin Dillon the free pass.
Yeah, I was just trying to be a nice guy. You can never have too many friends out there, especially this point of the season. You go a lap down, it changes your race, and obviously he was up there racing in the top 5 there towards the end. So just putting another coin in the deposit box.
Nick?
Nick Bromberg, Yahoo Sports. You've talked multiple times about, obviously, the pushes you had to get from behind. How has the racing this year changed the style on restarts of trying to figure out maybe I would pick a less preferred groove, knowing that potentially it's more important to have a better push from behind?
Yeah, we take all that into account, especially with this aero package. It's more about who do you think can push you all the way into turn one? And it just seemed like the top didn't have quite as much traction as the bottom did. for whatever reason. But the bottom people just stayed aligned, and that really is the key. If someone, you know, behind me pulls out, or someone behind them pulls out, I mean, our line is done, and the top will prevail. So it worked out well for me to be able to control the bottom. It worked every time that I'd restarted there, so I didn't want to second guess myself on the final one.
And you were obviously confident that once you got into clean air, no matter if someone behind you had four tires, you're going to be able to hold them off.
Yeah, I knew I was going to be able to hold my car wide open. After that restart, we took two left side tires, I believe it was. And I just knew that for me and my car speed, it was going to be more important to keep the lead, even if I was on lesser tires. And Chris made the right call there, because we were able to hold those guys off, and my car fired off as good as it would on four, even though we only took two.
Do we have any questions up in the press box? Going once, going twice. Breyer, you close us off, buddy.
So would you be disappointed if you did not end up winning the championship this year with how strong you've been?
Yeah, I mean, it just depends. I mean, I think we believe that a successful year is making it to Homestead. Anything can happen in one race. I don't think you should necessarily deem your season a success or a failure off of one race. I think as this year as a whole, we would consider this a very successful season, even if something were to happen in the next round. We certainly wouldn't be pleased about it, but you just everyone tries to do the best of their job and let the chips fall where they may. But we are not going to let one race dictate whether this year is a success or not.
Well, Denny, congratulations on winning this race, and good luck the rest of the playoffs.
Thank you.